Yes, no. There we go. So how's everyone this morning? Good? I know Jake said that it's April and a little cool outside. Well, we got pictures from some friends yesterday from Southern Alberta. Red Deer South, sort of Edmonton South. And they had a foot by the morning already. And then in some places 6 inches. So kind of missed it. I know it went through White Court and kind of that way and on. So I'm kind of thankful it didn't arrive. Boy, you guys look like you're way far back there. I'm almost tempted to tell you to come forward. Come on. No, it's not. Then I'll move up to you. How's that? Okay. I know. You've already warned me about that. So I've got to stay in a certain spot. But that happened once in a church. Everybody sat way at the back. And your pastor came and he said, well, you know what? Thought to himself, and he took the pulpit and he moved it right up to where they were sitting. And after about a year, it finally ended up to the front because they started filling up the front more. So, but anyways, is it spring break this week at school?
For one of the
schools? Okay. Just finished, eh? So everybody's kind of out enjoying the weather, I guess. So I'm going to return to what I've been talking about, and that is the importance of being a Christian. And I started our topic in March, middle of March, and working through certain thoughts and ideas of all this. You know, we realize that we are reborn and we belong to the Lord. And this morning I'm going to look at the importance of being a Christian guarded by the power of God. And that's where I'm going to head this morning, is to look at that. And we have to realize too, all of us, we live in a world that does not encourage godly living. Not only is it anti-Christian, it's anti-God today in our society. You don't have to go very far and or read anywhere and you'll see that. And there are powerful forces that are focused on our spiritual destruction. There's another world that we cannot see. And that plays a big part in our lives. But there's something that we have that the world does not have. We have help that the world does not have. We have the help of our Heavenly Father. He is concerned for us. We are His beloved children. We belong to Him. And when you think about it, yes, our Heavenly Father watches over us, guards us as well. But we also have Jesus. We have Jesus as well. I think of the verse found in Hebrews 13. It says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be what? Afraid. And I think of the Holy Spirit as well. He helps us as well. He guides us throughout our whole life. And we also, I think, of angels. We read in Hebrews that angels are ministering angels to send, to help us as well. And then we also have each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we have quite a bit of people that can help us, right? A lot of to watch over us and in our life as we go through. 1 Peter 1:5 speaks of God's protection. It says, we are being protected by the power of God through faith. And that's kind of what I'm going to step off of from and in today's sermon as well. The phrase, we are protected by the power of God, is actually a military term, which means to hem in or to surround. That's the wording. So we can rightly say that we as Christians are guarded by the power of God. God hems us in. He watches over us. And that's going to be the subject of today's sermon. And I want to begin by looking at Satan. All right, Satan. And his goal is our destruction. And I want to look at him a little more deeper this morning. Not too much. He's our adversary. We have to realize that. Like I said before, we are surrounded by a spiritual, enemy force that we cannot see. But sometimes that world spills into our private lives and our public lives as well. It's a world that's controlled by Satan. We know that Scripture says he's the prince of this world. He's the ruler of this age as well. His strategy is not for land. It's us that he's after. And the simple reason is because we are God's children. He wants to deceive us. Do you know that? He wants us to believe his lies and his stories and take his lures. And some of us are fishermen or fisher people, whichever is correct, I guess, today. And we have certain lures to catch certain fish. Some are very small lures and some are very big, depending on what you're going for. And then we spray something on it that smells pretty good to the fish. And they tack it. And that's what Satan does too. All right? He has lures that attracts you to do something. And you all know what those lures are. And he knows what they are as well. His strategy is this. He wants us to think he is the right choice. He wants us to follow him. And only Satan good at what he does. He can give you a good time while he's destroying you. And what the funny thing is sometimes you don't even realize it until the very end, and your life is just a real mess. Also, too, we know that Satan is described in 1 Peter as a roaring lion. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I looked up that phrase, like a roaring lion. And some of us are armchair tourists. We watch National Geographic and we hear the lions are sitting under a tree, they roar and they make all their noise. But they say that when they're hunting, they're silent until they're really close to their prey. And just before they pounce, the lion will roar. You know what the reason is? It paralyzes. And then they pounce. So Satan, he roars, pounces. He's after you. You need to be careful. No matter who you are in life, no matter what your status in life, he's always there and relentlessly. And one thing we need to understand too is if you're in a position of leadership, especially within the church, an elder, a pastor, you have a bullseye on you, a big one. If he can get you and destroy you, he can literally destroy a church and the church's witness within that community. You have to be on your guard because you're on the front lines. Yep, he's on the prowl to bind us as well. Some of us still carry some of that old life with us. At times it comes up, and we have to deal with it, and he knows what those things are. And he'll always bring them right to the front of our lives, and we have to deal with them. And I don't know what they are with you. What does he use to cause you to lose it? Something to think about, isn't it? He has a strategy, and that is to lead us astray, to lead us away from God. And when he does, his ultimate goal is to disgrace God's glory and his name. We also need to know that Satan appears as an angel of light. And he disguises himself. Doesn't come as his true self. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So he pretends to be something he is not. So he has the power to change his appearance to hide his true identity and his agenda. So he's out there and against us. And as we get closer and closer to the end of time, it's going to get worse for us. He's really going to be after us. I want to read something I got out of, I believe it's the Daily Bread. I got it a couple years ago. I pulled it out and stuck it in a book, and then I found it when I was preparing this. And it's written by Joel Stalwell. I just want to read the whole article. And of course, we just had an election, so it kind of will reflect on that as well. Politicians are apt at spinning the details of a story to advance their own agenda. During a political campaign, spin doctors massage stories to ensure that their candidate is cast in a positive light, often at the expense of the truth. And this leaves us with serious questions about what the real truth is. According to Jesus, Satan is the spin doctor of hell, the master deceiver who speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar. And you find that in John 8:44. He casts himself as the one who wants to give us unfettered freedom and pleasure, carefully masking his plan to steal, kill, and destroy us. We find that in John 10:10. He even spins the loving laws of God by claiming that God's boundaries are restrictive, simply intended to take all the fun out of living. How many of you heard that before? Probably a few of us have in life, right? Even when we buy into Satan's damaging lies, we'll evidently find ourselves empty and broken, sidelined it in our journey with God. Thankfully, Jesus warns. He tells us that Satan is the father of lies. And we know Satan is lying when what he tells us contradicts God's word. So that means that you better make sure that God's word is deep in your heart and you know it extremely well. Jesus, on the other hand, is the truth. The truth. You can find that in John 14:6. So when it comes to sorting out the spin, our only defense against the spin doctor is to constantly listen to the voice of Jesus as we spend time in prayer, time we spend in studying his word. And when we do, we will know the truth. And we will know when we are being lured away as well. Also, too, he works through his servants who pretend to be godly ministers. Satan's servants may appear right and good at first, but their teaching is deadly. All of us know that rat poison is, what, 99% good? Or something like that, and a little bit of it is just enough to take you out? 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 says, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from what they believe. They will fall lying spirits and teachings that come from demons. These teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be religious, but their consciences are dead." So there's, we know, don't have to go very far. We can see that in a lot of places. They'll pretend to be teachers of God's truth, of God's word, but in fact, their teaching is contrary to God's word. So be careful to what you hear. Be careful. Careful to what you see and read. These false teachers are out there wanting to mislead us. Of course, all of us get sometimes, once in a while, I get them every so often, I get a knock on the door. And you got to deal with them. How many of you ever had one of those at your doors? Yeah, all of us have. Do you know what to say to them? And I see somebody's already nodding. Some of us are pretty scared to figure out what to say to them. And sometimes, if you don't know, did I lose my voice? No? Okay. I just heard a squeak, so I thought maybe we were going to. There's a scripture, actually, found in 2 John. If you want to use this when they come to your door, go right ahead, all right? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, and the teaching is that God came from heaven to earth and was born as a babe in Bethlehem, grew up, was crucified on the cross, and died and shed his blood and rose again. Okay? They don't teach that, right? Do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked way. All right? I've used that a few times and they've left. All right? Just a little side rabbit there for you, okay? So if they come, make sure you know God's word. Satan has many strategies to misuse God's word and to lead us astray. So that means we need to be alert. Alert. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Say, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day. Every day. As long as it's called today. And of course, today is a lot easier. We have our cell phones, right? We can send messages to each other and talk back and forth. And it goes on to say, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So, we've been warned. We need to be careful. We can be deceived. And we can turn away from God. For everyone who's concerned about this, just think about it for a moment. What questions should you ask? Basically, it's how can I keep this from happening to myself or to others? How can we do that? Well, first thing, we need to encourage each other. It means that we need to be closer to each other so that we know what's happening in each other's lives. And of course, we must remain faithful to God's Word. Hide it in our hearts. And trust Him as well. How many of you guys like memorizing? Some of you do. Some of you do. But that's one way of doing it, to memorize God's Word. Get it deep into our hearts and into our minds so that we can use it when they come and talk to you. The dangers are real. The need to resist Satan, who seeks our destruction, is very real. But we're not alone, for we have God with us, who stands ready to assist us. He's watching over us. We're not alone. Isn't that wonderful? To know that we can go through life knowing He is there with us. And at times, He also carries us too. So quite a journey. And this leads me to God's provision, our safekeeping. First of all, take note, Christ is our helper as an advocate. In 1 John 2, 1 through 2, we read, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, there's someone to plead for you before the Father, an advocate. Of course, that advocate is Jesus. He is the one that pleads our case. Basically, in a sense, He's our divine defense attorney in heaven. He's the one who speaks in our defense. Because in a real sense, that sounds like a courtroom. Let me explain. When Satan stands before God, which he does, Revelation 12:10 says, for the accuser Satan of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night. Well, let me just explain this. This is what he does. He stands there and he says, look at what Joe did. Look at what he thought. Look at what he's reading. Did you hear what he said in anger? Then Jesus will rise in my defense as my attorney. Jesus will say, yeah, Father, Satan is correct. Joe did those things. But I want you to know this. I've already covered them with my blood. I died for Joe's sins. And he's confessed them to me. I've already covered those sins. You know what God does? Drops the gavel and says, next case. He's there for us. He does that for each one of us. All of us have to battle with sin every moment, every day. But we must confess our sins daily. In 1 John 1, 7 through 10 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So we need to draw near to God. And at times we need to come clean. We all know what it's like to walk in a dark house at night. Yes? I remember my little kids running around, and everybody picked up all their toys. And I found that the worst thing in the dark to step on in the hallway is Lego. Are those big little blocks that say A and B, C on them? Those got to be the worst, because they sure take you down real quickly. But some of us actually get up at night and we sneak off to the kitchen because we have growlies. Right? Make sure it's in the dark so we don't awake our sweethearts. Right? And we flip on the light. What happens? You're blinking for a few moments, right? Because your eyes are adjusting to it. And what does the light reveal? Especially if you're in the kitchen. It reveals the condition of your kitchen. Whether it's clean or not. Right? There's dirty dishes everywhere and some food all over the counters. Maybe a trash can overflowing. That's one of my pet peeves. My son is famous for that. His garbage can is full. He comes to work with me once in a while. And the garbage can is full. I got no idea why he piles it up until it's a big pile and he still can put one on top. Why does he just take it out? Out to the garbage can. I can't figure it out. Anyways, that's okay. Leave it there. Okay? Going off in a rabbit trap. It's only when we turn on the light in our lives, the light of Jesus Christ, we really see our sin for what it is. And we need to realize that we need to turn that on. Need to walk in the light of Christ to see what is there. Sometimes we need to turn the light on so that we can see what's in our lives, even the very dark recesses of it where we like to hide stuff. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to turn on His light, so that we can restore our relationship with Him, especially if there's something there that's in the way. And when we turn on the light, we discover that God is our power to live a godly, holy life, and only comes from Him and not from us. He provides the power that is greater than all our sins. And I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16. It says that out of God's gracious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that you may dwell, so Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Notice, it is God's Spirit that is within us. He is the one that empowers us to live the Christian life. Ever thought about that? And really considered what that means? All the power of heaven dwells in you and in me. Why are we so fearful in going out into the world when we have the power of God within us? The nearer we draw to God, the further we move away from sin. Yes, it is God who gives us the power to live. And by His grace, we are guarded by the power of God. He dwells in us. All the power of the universe, the one that made it, is in us. We have nothing to fear. Now let's look at some of our responsibilities. Remain faithful. Our security. The Bible teaches the security of the believer. In fact, no one can snatch you out of the hand of God. Look what John 10 says, in fact, these are the words from Jesus, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Here we have assurance of security. We're protected. No one can snatch us out of God's hands. No one can. Someone or something would have to be more powerful than God to do that, to snatch us out of your hands. Think about that. You're in God's hands. Who's going to take you out of there? No one. So today you're confident in your security? Are you secure in your relationship with Jesus? Remember, you're in the Father's invincible hands, hands that even Satan cannot pry open and remove you. That means nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. In Romans 8, we find these verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall trouble? No. Or hardship? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness or danger of sword? No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. So nothing can separate us from the love of our Savior. Nothing can. Now let's look at some responsibilities that we need to take, upon ourselves. First responsibility, we have to prepare our minds to be self-controlled. We live in tough times. It's not easy to be a Christian today, is it? Is it? It's pretty tough. Pretty tough. But we ought to prepare our minds. But it's much easier to let our minds be lulled into activity. Our society seems to be that way. Full of junk. It's even harder to be self-controlled. So many things to lead us away from God and His Word. And the power to stop such action is controlled thinking. We need to control our minds. Exercise spiritual disciplines. We need to focus upon Jesus and His Word. Spend time getting to know Him. When He begins to work in our lives, He'll change our minds. Second responsibility, we're to be deeply rooted in Christ and His love. We find this in Colossians 2. Let your roots go down into Christ and draw up nourishment for Him. So you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. So like a tree with deep roots in rich soil, that's the story behind what we just read. Now, I'm from the West Coast, and when trees grow there, they have a tremendous root system. Not like here. I've noticed that when I go in the bush, I notice the root system here is quite small. But down on the coast, they could be probably as big as this room. And we used to, when we cleared the farm, we always had a box of dynamite. So that's the only way we can get the root system out. They were so big. That's what our roots are to be. Deep into God's love, into God's Word. Firmly planted so when the storms of life come, we're not going to get blown over. We draw our nutritions from Him. And we grow in Him as well. Ephesians 3 says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Let's make our roots go down deep. So when the storms of life come, we can stand. Like the trees planted by the rivers, our roots go down deep. Third responsibility, and this is very important, we are to put on the full armor of God so we can stand firm. And I'm going to read those eight verses from Ephesians 6. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Not part of it, the full armor of God. so that you take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth tucked, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Be alert. And always keep praying for all the saints. Now put this armor on. It's Christ. This is the way to live an effective life. The power of our Christian life is dependent upon God. Being strong in the Lord and in His power. All other power is useless. In order to take advantage of God's power, we need to put on the armor. It's not something we put on in the morning or take off in the evening. It's something we wear 24/7. Our enemy never sleeps. He'll attack us when we're sleeping. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Some of us are shaking our heads, yes, because we've experienced where the enemy has attacked. It's to be our lifelong companion. It provides us with divine power from Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and great joy. And we have more responsibilities, but I think those three are the most important. We need to be focused upon Christ. We are protected by God's power. So, let's just wrap it up. The importance of being a Christian is we are guarded by the power of God. Amen? Just think about it. If we didn't have God's power to protect us, well, it'd be like a fish in the bottom of the boat, right? Just flopping around. In everyday battles, whether physical or spiritual, we can stand strong in the power of God's might. And in resisting Satan, God will restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. Never lose sight in the importance of your faith. Your resistance must be firm and your faith strong. Because by God's mighty power, He'll protect each and every one of us. God's power. It's within us. And we walk in it every day of our Christian lives. Let's pray, shall we? And Father, as we just wrap up this little sermon this morning on the importance that we are guarded by the power of God, I am so thankful that Your power rests on each one of us. Help us to realize that Your power is helps us in our everyday lives. We also have Your Son that looks after us, the Holy Spirit, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, help us to realize that power. You are our security. We have responsibilities to plant ourselves deep into Your Word. So be with each one of us, Father, as we go our separate ways. Let us go and realize that we are guarded by You. We're hemmed in. You're watching us. Your eyes are upon each and every one of us. So be with us now in Thy name. Amen.